revival as we've been talking about it. This is a message for all of us today that we listen to and that we can learn from an early age, no matter how much we hear it. This is a message that we need to remember daily, and as Americans we need to remember as a people and as a church, that our light would shine, as we've talked about. Remember that Jesus loves us, but He's also told us in His Word there's some things that we need to do so He can bless us, so He can hear from heaven and heal our land. And we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 this morning. And some other things we need to think about is what type of soil we have. Now, I think the ground has been broken in many hearts, that it is ready to receive the Word of God, that new life can spring forth from the ground for this revival. People have been praying, putting preparation into revival, and that's what it takes, that we can have a good revival in God, that He can send down His Spirit, that we get ourselves out of the way, that God can have His way and have His will in revival. God wants to revive His people, and it's something we need to trust Him for. If you can revive yourself, there would be no need for revival. But we need revival so God can revive us. Because many times we are dead because of our trespassing sin, because we grow cold and indifferent, because we've not repented of the things that God can hear from heaven to be able to bless our land and to heal it because of our iniquities and sins. America needs a time of coming to the altar for repentance that we can have revival in America. Where is it going to start? I pray New Hope today. I pray at New Hope tonight. I pray at New Hope this week that revival breaks out that goes all across North Carolina and across the country. And well, it takes praying people believing that God can revive us. It takes people that are willing to humble themselves and come before God and kneel down. When was the last time you truly humbled yourself before God? Before, when you got down prostrate before Him and you prayed earnestly before Him, that you cried out with a repentant heart, that you cried out with a heart for mercy from God. When was the last time that you really done business with God? That you got hold of the prayer horns of the altar and you got down to business, that heaven and earth was shaking because of your prayer life with God? When was the last time that you got down and you truly prayed for America? When was the last time you truly got down and prayed for your children? When was the last time you got down and prayed that the words that spoke by the preachers would reach out and touch hearts, that they people might be saved? When was the last time you prayed for a sinner that is under conviction that they would surrender to God and couldn't go any further, that they had to humble down and ask Jesus to come in their life? When was the last time that you got on fire for God and you let your little light shine? We had battery operated lights up here, but God gave us a light down inside that can shine and shine and shine. But we got to get the dirt off our globes. We got to let light shine that people might see. When was the last time you had some house cleaned and cleaned the dirt off the globe of your light that people could see the light that's there? Have you got her turned down because you're afraid somebody might see that you got the light of Christ in you? Or have you got it turned up this morning that people would see and it would shine to heaven, that He could see and say, "That's my children in whom I'm well pleased." We might get started here in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. If my people... Now, who's God's people? It's the called out. It's the chosen. Here we're talking about, at this time we're talking about Israel, but this is God's people. If my people... That's us, children. That's us. We are God's people. We are God's, and we are His because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary, that paid the redemption for all mankind, that we can be saved today. That's who we are. We are God's people. We are God's children. Not His grandchildren, not His stepchildren, but we're His children. If my people, that's all of us. Not just the preacher, not just the deacon, not just a Sunday school teacher, but that's all God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, not by New Hope Missionary Baptist, not by Mount Sinai Methodist down here, we see they're having revival too. We need to pray for their revival. We need to pray for God's will. They're having revival this week, that all of us would have revival. We all got the same God. If we believe that Jesus came, bled and died at Calvary, went to that cross, went to that tomb, and arose again, we all serve the same God. We all may see it a little bit differently, but let me tell you, God said He'd sort all that out, because all that's because of man making the difference. But God said He was God. I am. That's all we needed to know, that He was, still is. which are called by my name. We put too much emphasis sometimes on name. Now we got it here in a church where we got people that bought pews and windows and got nameplates on it. But God tells us we don't need to have a big name. We just need to lift Him up and do the things according to God, and He'll take care of making sure that we get blessed for it. But His name, called by His name. We got so many today that because their families went to church there for 30 years, they think they own the church. Well, let me tell you, God still got the deed to her. And it ain't nobody's but God's. And that's where we need to let it go back to, and we can let our light shine. When we get confused and think that we're in charge and we're in trouble. If my people, which are called by my name, what? Shall humble themselves. We got so many people today that's so full of pride they wouldn't humble down and kneel upon their knees for nothing. I've not got no sin. Well, let me tell you, brother, sister, you got sin all over you. The trouble is, your eyes have got blinded, your heart's been seared with a conscience that has no more remorse for the things that you're doing wrong. If you're a child of God, you're not going to walk too far that God don't get your attention. But if you'll keep on walking and searing your conscience with that hot iron, and you'll keep turning your back on God and won't listen, there will be a time that He'll just let you go out there and do whatever you want to. And you're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to suffer the consequences. Just like taking the Lord's Supper. When you got sin in your life, some many are sickly among you, and some are even asleep in the grave. We know that it ain't sleep in the grave. Many of them died because they took of the Lord's Supper because they wasn't fit to. They hadn't cleared their heart. They had ought against one another's and didn't get it cleared up. They had sin in their life. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Now we talk about the old time meetings that they used to have. You know why? Because they humbled themselves. I've heard stories, I hadn't been there, but they come to church and people be praying out in the woods when the services was getting ready to start before it ever started. People be in the altar praying in the church before service ever started. They went left praying, they come back praying, they prayed all day, they rejoiced over the meeting, they told other people about what was going on. That's letting your little light shine, by the way. And you just ain't got much power texting it. There's more power in it saying the words to people. We can message all we want to, but the message needs to get out from our mouths. I ain't found in God's Word where He said, hey, hook up with U.S. Cellular and get you a good texting plan and let the Word go out. Amen. He told them to have that He would give them the words to say. We need to go and give them the Word. And the Word is of God. We need to give them God's Word. If they'll humble themselves and pray. Boy, this is something big we need. We need prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to take time with God, to spend some time with God. And none of us do it as much as we ought to, as much as we could. But the time that we do spend with Him, we need to make it count. We need to have all the stuff in our heart separated and set aside. We need to get our mind focused upon God. We need to get it off the things of the world and get down to business with God and let our light shine and pray and pray. And you say, well, preacher, I just don't know what to pray. You get down and ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray, because He prays for us when we don't know what to pray. And I know some of you have been in situations you just didn't know what to pray. The situation was so grave in front of you that you just didn't know how to pray or what to pray. But guess what? The Spirit was already praying for you. He was already interceding with God for you. If you'll just say, help me pray, Spirit. Help me pray, Holy Spirit. Help me pray, God. Give me the mind and the heart to pray to you. Guess what? He'll come down and commune with you. And you could talk to Him like a friend. It ain't great big words that impresses Him, but it's a great big heart that loves Him. Love, it's inside. That's what impresses God. Faith, believing. And seek my face. I think many times as church we lose that, seeking God's face. We want to be behind His back doing things. We don't want to do it in front of His presence, of His face that He can see us. We think we can go around this little area and we'll drag them in this way. Or we'll get them in this way. We do all these things thinking, well, God's not going to look on that. He's just going to wink on it. You know, it'll be all right. He knows that we're just flesh and bone and we're going to make our mistakes, but let's try to go down this way and bring this in. Or let's bring that in. It'll be all right. When God's Word says it's right, it's right. And He says it's wrong, it's wrong. And He said for us to seek His face. Amen. To seek His face, you want to humble yourself before Him. You're going to pray before Him. And you want to be in the throne room of God that He can speak to you and that you can hear. To seek His face. To do things that you're not ashamed of Him to look upon. Because when you're in somebody's face, they see all. And God sees it whether we think it we're in His face or not. Amen. Whether we're seeking His face or not, He does see all things. And seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. Amen. Which way do we turn? We turn away from the wickedness that's in your life. Well, I don't have much. If you got any, that's too much. We all do. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. If we didn't, we wouldn't have needed a Savior. But we do. And Jesus came to be the Savior. But we won't need to seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. Now let me tell you, you can't turn from your wicked ways on your own. Amen. The only way you can turn from your wicked ways is to ask Jesus to come into your life and save you and turn you from your wicked ways. You could turn over a new leaf. Do you turn the tree upside down? Don't mean you're saved. But what you have to do is turn it over to God and let Him come in and turn your heart around. And change that stony heart that was covered by sin and make it new again. Amen. The parable of the four soils. The stony ground. And the rocky ground. And the good ground. And the ground that was there by the wayside that was trampled. All of them represent mankind in our stage of life. Too many times we're so many that are the hard ground that's unproductive, that the seed is scattered but it don't have no place to take root because it's so hard. Our hearts are hard. We've lived in this life and we've got hardened because of what other men have done to us. Because of what society is telling us is right and wrong and all these things. And we're not going to the Word of God and we've got hard-hearted. And we won't surrender it to God. Very few are the last soil type that is the best soil type. Many fall in the in-between where the birds come and pluck it up or where it don't have much room that it will be able to get root to grow. Sowed amongst the thorns. There's only very few that have the good ground anymore that it can be sown in their heart and that they can be productive for God. Just very few where it is taking hold today and people's lives being changed. But what is the matter? It's because we as the laborers have got weary and we're not plowing the ground and we're not breaking up those places that have got hard-hearted because of the Word of God that we're not sharing it with them to break those places up. We're not praying for them. Said that one would sow and one would water, but God would give the increase. Well, guess what? We've laid the hoe down, we've laid the water jug down, and we're waiting for somebody else to do it. Living on God's welfare line. Waiting for a handout from God. Shame on us as Christians. Shame on us as Christians. Done preached so long my book turned off. Ain't never had that happen before. Then will I hear from heaven? When's God going to hear my prayers? When's God going to hear my supplications? When's God going to answer all this that we've been praying? Whenever we meet all the criteria that God said, if we'll come and seek His face and humble down and ask Him to come into our lives and change things and repent and turn from our wicked ways, then will He hear from heaven? He can't hear from heaven as long as we've got sin. As long as we've got sin in the church house, as long as we've got sin in our life, as long as we've got sin in our families, God can't hear from heaven because we have something that's separating us from heaven. It's our sin. Not that God is hard of hearing, but our voices get very weak when we live like the devil 6 days and try to cry out on Sunday to God. We're very weak. Very weak. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Forgive their sin. See, there's things that we've got to do. We don't have to do any of them for salvation except trust Jesus Christ as our Savior and ask Him to come in. But let's bless God after we get saved. He said we'd have a desire and a want to live after Him, that we would want to keep those commandments as Linda was talking about. We should have a desire to live heavenly for God and live after His statutes that He has left for us and keep His commandments and live accordingly. Amen. It shouldn't be a hard thing to be a Christian. We make it hard because we don't want to surrender and let God have His leadership in our life and let Him be able to forgive our sins. Can you be forgiven if you don't go ask for forgiveness? If you've hurt your brother or your sister, do they forgive you without you asking? Sometimes for you to be able to go along, you do. Sometimes for you to be able to live what God would have you to do, you've got to forgive them whether they've asked or not. But do they realize their forgiveness until they come and ask? No. And we are not forgiven until we go to God and say, I have sinned. I've got sin in my life. I've got weakness. My faith is weak and I need it to be strengthened. I've got unbeliefs that you can answer and I need you to help me to be able to strengthen and trust you that I don't have to worry about these things. Then I can just put it in your hand and trust you and trust God. For us to worry about things, and we all do, preachers included, they have times we get worried. And then we realize after a few minutes or a few, maybe even half a day, after an hour of our worry, we think it comes to us because the Holy Spirit finally gets some time to speak in there when we have be quiet long enough. You say, hey, there's no use to worry. God's got it under control. God's got it under control. Don't worry. Just trust Him. It'll be all right. But He will forgive our sins and will heal their land. And today we need a healing. We need a healing in Allegheny County for our county. We need a healing across North Carolina for our state. And we most definitely need one across this United States that we will be one nation under God, indivisible, because we trust in the one and the only God. But people forget Him so soon. So soon. 9/11. So many flocked to church the Sunday after, praying, asking God for guidance to strengthen us, be able to stand against the wickedness that was coming against us. By the next Sunday, they started to dwindle. In 6 months, those that flocked to church had done left. Not very many stayed that trusted God. Many surrendered, rededicated lives, got saved. But then when things started looking up, they left the church. That's not the way God works. It's not just a partial thing with Him. If my people, are we God's people today? Do we want revival? Do we want it to break out in the singing tonight? Do we want it to turn loose today? Do we want revival in our heart? Amen. We are God's people. Something we should never forget. I am God's son. An heir to the throne room of God through Jesus Christ. An heir and joint heir with Him. The cattle on 1,000 hills. A mansion in glory. With a title with my name on it. On the street of gold that leads to the throne room of God, where there's going to be a gathering as a crystal sea. As we gather together for the choir, we won't have to have choir practice. Thank God we'll all know the song and sing in perfect harmony because we are His people. We are called by His name. One day He's going to say, children, come forth. And we're going to rise up out of this place. Shall humble themselves. Now let me tell you, for revival, a roadblock we've got to remove, we must humble our heart. Amen. If we want to remove one of the roadblocks to revival, we've got to humble. And we've got to expect Him to give revival because we're praying and believing that He will. Praying and believing, we've got to humble. We've got to pray. Another roadblock that keeps us from having revival, the lack of prayer. We must pray. We must pray believing. We don't come to God and say, God, move me if You can. I know He can move us. I don't want Him to have to. We might not like it so good. But if God's nudging your heart and He says, speak for me. Speak for me. Tell what I've done for you. Brother, sister, if you want revival to break out, be obedient to God. Amen. Pray. 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 Have you ever prayed till it comes great drops of blood? I don't think so. There's only one man ever been able to do that. Do you pray till you start sweating? Have you ever got that far down into prayer that you're praying? Have you ever prayed and didn't realize anybody else was around? That's getting in your closet. That's praying and believing and just having a conversation with God. We need to do all these things. Pray and seek my face. Not the backside of his robe. Not the little, maybe a little room off behind the throne. But seek God's face. That he would be pleased to look down upon the congregation of his people gathered together in his name, praying and humbling ourselves to have revival, to seek his face in revival, and turn from their wicked ways. We may not have what we would consider great wickedness, but in God's eyes, sin is sin. There's no big ones, no little ones. They were all the same that he died for. He died for the murderer as much as he died for the liar. He died for the thief as much as he died for the one that blasphemes against him. God is love. And he tries all through his word to show us how great his love is. Turn from our wicked ways. Then will he hear from heaven. He'll hear a sweet sound. We'll hear a sweet sound. Because we'll feel God talking to us, we'll hear him talking to us. But he said, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. Friend, for us to truly have revival, if there's anything that we need to ask God for forgiveness for, to repent, or maybe one another. As Pat was talking about, sisters not getting along. Christians sometimes don't get along, though we should. But if we've got something between Christian brothers and sisters, we need to ask God to forgive us and turn from that wickedness. And let his love bring us together. Then he'll forgive our sins. Then we'll heal their land. We need the balm of God upon our lives. Church, if we've ever been in a time we need revival, and we say this all the time, but it's growing worse and worse as the days go forward. And if we've ever needed revival, it's today. Amen. And God is able. God is able. But this week, remember, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we need to this week. If you've not been before, you especially do need this week so God can send revival. May I remind you of the young man named David that stopped by the last revival. May I remind you of people that was visiting down from New York, from up there in the upper part of New York, and was just driving down the road one Sunday and was brought into the church. Other folks that have just been traveling by that just stopped in to have church with us on Sunday. God's Spirit is real. It wasn't just by coincidence that they came by. God had a purpose. God had a purpose. He will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. If we want to see those that are lost saved, church, we need revival. We need revival. Many a soul have been saved at revival, but many a Christian need revival. And we need it desperately that we be revived. The other day I was trying to burn some brush. It's not a good practice to throw gasoline on a fire. So before I started it, I poured a great amount of gasoline on the wood, trying to get it so it would burn. And when I struck the match and threw it in there, all of a sudden Dad showed up. He was up at his house. I didn't know it made that belch kaboom. But God can throw some Holy Spirit gasoline on our fire. That we can make some sound. And that people will come to see what's going on. And it's because of the drawing Spirit of God. not the explosion that we create, but the explosion of God's Word and God's Spirit? Will we surrender? Will we trust God? Will we, this week especially, take and set aside time for special prayer, for revival? What kind of ground have you prepared in your heart? Have you just been walking to and fro upon it, trampling it down, making it harder and harder? Or have you been cultivating it? We're getting into gardening time. You've got to cultivate. You've got to turn that thing over, and you've got to get the rocks and the hard spots broken up. It's the same for our heart with God. But we need to let God have a place that His seed may take hold, that we can have true revival. Do you want it, church? Do you want revival? Do you want God's Spirit moving you that you can't help yourself but to speak for Him? We can have great revivals we have in the past, but they're not sufficient for now. Amen. And we can have even greater if we trust God. If we trust God. This morning, friend, if you're here and you're lost, and you don't know Him as your Savior, you never trusted Him, you've never surrendered to Him, or maybe you did one time, but you truly don't believe that you got saved, friend, today is the day of salvation. If God is dealing with your heart, today is the day that you need to surrender to God. Not tomorrow, not next week, not some other time, but while the heart is tender and prepared and ready and been dealt with, God is the time to surrender to God. Church, you remember when you was lost? Do you remember before you surrendered to God how you were and the condition you was in? Then you need to pray the more earnest for someone that's in that same condition that they will get saved before it's everlasting too late, that they'll turn it over to God. You can't walk the walk and talk the talk by yourself. You have to have Jesus to show you the way. And you can have Him in your heart today forevermore. But you must trust Him. As we stand to our feet, as Jill plays, all head bowed, all eyes closed, no one looking across the congregation. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you'd like for me to pray for you, I'd rather pray with you in this altar, but I'll pray for you that God would increase your faith, that you could just trust Him. Would you just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I realize I'm lost, and that I need to be saved. Pray for me that I can surrender to God. Pray for me that I'll just trust Him, that I'll surrender." Would there be a hand anywhere? Would there be a hand anywhere? Christians are praying. Is your heart prepared? Have you humbled yourself? Are you praying and seeking His face, and turn from your wicked ways that we can have revival in this place? And in our hearts, not just this church building, but your heart. Friend, if there's anything this morning you need to deal with God about, come to this altar. From the biggest to the littlest, you're not going to offend God by coming to Him. You're only going to make Him have a joyful heart. Will you come? Will you come? Do we want revival? Do we have anything that we need to surrender, that we need to turn from, that we need to give to God? Friend, bring it. Bring it to Him. Call out upon Him. You don't have so many burdens and cares that He can't answer. But you have to come. If my people, which are called by my name, will you come? You're God's people. And God's altar. His people making their way. There's time. I'll wait on you. I'll wait on you. If we're here when the singers show up this afternoon, be all right. As long as God's in the works. Will you come? Will you surrender?